I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes, give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would if I could. I would teach you all the things I never learned, and I'd help you cross the bridges that I've burned. Yes, I would if I could. I would try to shield your innocence from time, but the part of life I gave you isn't mine. I watch you grow. I would help you make it through the hungry years, but I know that I could never cry your tears, but I would if I could.
If I could, a wish every parent would have for a child, certainly a wish the parents of 20 children killed last Friday, December the 14th, in their classrooms at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, might have had. Six adults at the school, including the principal, two counselors and four teachers also were killed. And the 20-year-old gunman took his own life as police stormed the school. Funeral services will be held today for two of the children, Noah Posner and Jack Pinto, both 6 years old. Noah Posner's funeral is scheduled for 1 p.m. at the Abraham L. Green and Son Funeral Home in Fairfield, Connecticut. The funeral for Jack Pinto is set for 1 p.m. at Honan Funeral Home in Newtown. Jessica Ricos, also 6 years old, will be buried tomorrow. Funeral services will be held at St. Rose of Lima Catholic Church in Newtown. In the aftermath of this massacre, the nation, of course, finds itself once again dealing with questions that are hard to answer. Why did it happen? Could it have been prevented? Was there a sign that we missed? Is there something that we should do now? The questions are harder still to ignore. How many more mass killings will it take before something is done to de-escalate America's homegrown arms race? President Obama expressed the sorrow of the nation upon learning of the killings, and he ordered the flags to be flown at half-mast. This is what he said.
All the families, first responders, to the community of Newtown, clergy, guests. Scripture tells us, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. We gather here in memory of 20 beautiful children and 6 remarkable adults. They lost their lives in a school. They could have been any school. In a quiet town full of good and decent people, they could be any town in America. Here in Newtown, I come to offer the love and prayers of a nation. I am very mindful that mere words cannot match the depths of your sorrow, nor can they heal your wounded hearts. I can only hope it helps for you to know that you're not alone in your grief, that our world, too, has been torn apart, that all across this land of ours, we have wept with you. We've pulled our children tight. And you must know that whatever measure of comfort we can provide, we will provide. Whatever portion of sadness that we can share with you to ease this heavy load, we will gladly bear it. Newtown, you are not alone. As these difficult days have unfolded,
there must be something that can be done, he says. We can't tolerate this, referring to the massacre, anymore. These tragedies must end, and to end them, we must change. We will be told that the causes of such violence are complex, and that is true. No single law, no set of laws can eliminate evil from the world or prevent every senseless act of violence in our society. But that can't be an excuse for inaction. Surely, he said, we can do better than this. But will official messages of mourning and half-masted flags stop the carnage? Decisive action is what is needed at all levels of government, and it is long overdue. For fear of the political repercussions of angering a strong gun lobby by proposing gun control legislation, politicians from the president on down have shied away from broaching the subject. Both President Obama and Republican contender Mitt Romney had agreed to leave it alone in the 2012 presidential campaign. And even as tears welled up in his eyes during a White House news conference expressing his personal sorrow and the nation's grief, the reelected president spoke amorphously about using whatever power this office holds in an effort aimed at preventing more tragedies like this. The fact is, America has been at this point many, many, many times. Just 4 days prior to the killings at Sandy Hook Elementary School, a gunman, without warning, opened fire with a stolen rifle on unsuspecting shoppers in a mall in Oregon, killing two and then killing himself. On September the 27th, a 36-year-old man who lost his job at a signage company killed five workers, wounded three others, and then killed himself. On August 5th, six worshipers at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, were killed, and four others wounded by a hate-filled Army veteran who then killed himself. On July the 20th, during the midnight premiere of The Dark Knight Rises, a 24-year-old grad school dropout killed 12 people and wounded 58 others in a hail of bullets from high-powered weapons. He was captured outside the theater where his car, with more weapons and ammunition, was parked. The list goes on and on and on. About 61 times more mass shootings in the last 30 years. Statistics show that Americans are killed by guns at a rate that is 19.5 times higher than other developed countries. And yet, an absolute fear by lawmakers to respond to an evident crisis. Instead, they kowtow to the National Rifle Association and other gun groups that have managed to convince them that the issue isn't the public safety, but the sanctity of the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. They did nothing 13 years ago when 13 people were killed by two shooters at Columbine High School in Colorado. They did nothing when 5 years ago, 32 people were slaughtered by a deranged gunman at Virginia Tech. So now the cry. What should happen? It's your call. 1-888-874-4888. 1-888-874-4888. This break, and we come back to your calls.
We all want to make our place in this world. We all want our voices to be heard. Everyone wants a chance to be someone. We all have dreams we need to dream, but sweeter than air, it's star you can reach is when you reach and find you found someone. You'll hold this world's most priceless thing, the greatest gift this life can bring, if you can look back and know you were loved. You were loved by someone, touched by someone, held by someone, meant something to someone. Love somebody, touch somebody.
That was Naomi Judd with You Were Loved. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead. And the question is, what legislative initiative do you think should be undertaken right now? And other thoughts relating to the situation. Tony from the Bronx, you're on. Thank you.
Hi, Yatrice. I'm glad to hear you back after all these years. It's really nice to hear your voice on the air where it belongs, for real.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that every time that I hear of an incident like this happening, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what is this individual on? Either medication or drugs, and it's almost always medications. Now, one of the members of your staff told me that there was an act that was passed in 1993 banning any exposure of medications that individuals are on when it comes to these type of public incidences. But I feel that that's one of the first places that we have to start, because if you do pass laws that limit gun use, check for backgrounds, all of which are needed. If these individuals are being driven to the point of, you know, acting out in an insane manner that's going to take the lives of individuals, if they can't find a gun, they're going to get a knife, they're going to get an axe, they're going to get a bomb, they're going to do something to take this anger out of themselves. You know, it boils down to me to the medication and what is driving them to this point, you know. The issue of medications has to seriously be looked at, regardless of what protections the pharmaceutical companies develop for themselves. That's my feeling. I think that's where we should start. We have to reevaluate what these people are on and the dangers of these medications.
Well, I see your point. I also think, though, that not all of these incidents have involved or might involve medication or use or abuse of medication. So, you know, we don't want to assume that in every case it is because the person is acting out under the influence of of medication. But we do want to have something of a sane way to operate. This is not the way to go. And the fact that so much time has elapsed and the proof is there that something needs to be done, and a cowardly response on the part of all levels of government, federal, state, local, they have shied away because everybody's, I mean, just intimidated by the NRA and other gun groups. So I think your point is well taken, though, and that is not to say that, you know, the legislation for gun control should supersede. I think it is both. I think it is a two-tiered thing that has to happen. Thank you so much for calling, Tom.
I agree with you, Therese, and I just want to say it's shameful how these politicians take advantage of these opportunities to make themselves look good in the court of public opinion without bringing anything to the table. I mean, if you're going to talk about we sympathize and all it is, bring something to the table. You know, come there, sympathize, but bring something productive that's going to help and turn this thing around. All I hear is, I hear you, we got your back and we need to change this, but there's nothing on the table.
Well, you're right with that. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you for taking my call, Latrice. Take it easy.
Thank you. Thank you. Frank from Maryland, you're on.
Hello, Latrice. I was thinking about this issue in the car and, you know, got choked up and all that. But I was also remembering a debate that I had with somebody on Facebook, and one of the things that I told them is that all of our Bill of Rights have limits except for this one. You can go to a gun show, and there are people who go to gun shows and get 50 cals. This is a gun that can shoot down a plane. There are people with those things in their backyard. We, as Gary Knoll sometimes say, we're waiting for Katrina on this. We've not dealt with this issue. Clinton tried to deal with this issue by trying to close gun show loopholes where people get that type of ammunition and artillery from, as it is artillery. And he was rebuffed, and our member, LaPierre, who was the president of the NRA that when Clinton tried to push this through, saying something about, you know, he, speaking to Clinton, you know, you don't care how many people die as a result of your policies. And if remembering that, it's just, it's apropos as to this situation that the NRA has blocked any movement on even reasonable gun control, and this is a situation where nobody's saying we want to take guns out of people's homes. What we're saying is we want to stop idiots, the criminally insane, the criminal, from getting guns. And we can't even do that, even something reasonable, because of the NRA. And it speaks to an immorality in this country. There's an immorality that's tied to our racism, that's tied to our gun policies. It's tied to a whole lot. It's all tied up. And it's unfortunate that something this tragic and this unbelievably evil has to happen in order for people to wake up. But you know something? There are still people who are going to tie themselves to the ideology, unfortunately. And we have to be vigilant and battle those people down. They cannot win this country, because if they do, this is the result. This is a result on every single issue that faces this country that we're in trouble for. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
But before you go, I just wanted to know what your feeling is about the fact that the guns used in this incident, this horrific incident, were obtained legally by the mother of the gunman, who also was killed by the gunman.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, that was her personal choice. But you see what the problem with that is, that when you make a personal choice to have those guns and you don't safeguard them and safekeep them, and particularly when you have an unstable child like apparently she had, you know, I don't know what to say. But because she had those guns in the home, all these children were killed. And there's nothing anybody can say to make that a falsehood. Because she had those guns in her home, all those children had to die. And that's how I feel about that.
Well, thank you very much for your call. 1-888-874-4888. How should the government or legislators, lawmakers, respond? What is, in your view, a reasonable response to this horrific tragedy that would now make a universal statement, finally, about this escalating possession of ever more sophisticated weaponry? Bobby from New Jersey, thank you for being with us.
Yes, Patrice, my condolences to all the parents. I have children myself. I feel their pain. The problem, and one of the things that I heard, because I've listened to, you know, a few discussions, and everybody saying, you know, well, rid them of the guns and that will solve the problem. I think it's multifaceted, as, you know, some of the guests who have even chimed in on your show. You know, one of the facts is that what happens if we ban all the guns? Now we're no longer protected, but you can still get guns illegally. That gives criminals the ring, and now there's no protection. I'm not saying that the problem is going to be fixed, especially through legislation. But the essence of it is, I heard commentary where, you know, in these other countries who have banned guns, you know, criminals are running rampant. And isn't there an inherent right for one to protect themselves? I understand that, you know, this is a bigger issue than just guns. And I don't think that anyone can be everywhere at any given point in time. As tragic as it may be, there's no intervention by any one person or any institution that's going to be around everywhere to safeguard. And I think that it's hypocrisy upon the government's position to turn around and then be all over shooting and bombing people in other countries and saying, well, you know, we should regulate guns.
Well, I think in that sense we could make a distinction, a slight distinction. One is domestic and one is warfare, part of warfare. We're talking in this instance of a domestic situation where a parent who reportedly, this is some of the reports I've seen, had said that she purchased these weapons believing that things were going to come to the worst because of the downslide in the economy, that the entire society would fall apart, and she supposedly professed a survivalist kind of attitude. So we're talking about guns in the home, purchased legally with permits, that end up doing this kind of damage. If you were a legislator today, what would your approach be?
My approach at that particular point of being a legislator is to hear the various discussions. on the issue. I think that we take one tragedy and make it global. Like I said earlier, even as a parent, I don't think that we can safeguard. When you walk out there in the street, it's just not a factor of life. But you would hope that nothing happened, that you made it out there and back safe. But my question at that particular point as a legislator wouldn't be at this point to limit, even though that individual had obtained guns legally. I don't think, as the other guy chimed in, I don't believe that it's the guns that are actually doing it. Can guns cause harm? Absolutely. Cars cause harm. Water causes harm, but we're not trying to ultimately regulate all of those things to the point of saying, okay, well, we have a major problem here, and this is what we should do. I don't think it comes as an easy answer. And at this particular point in time, like I said, we're taking the what's before us now and saying, well, we should do drastic measures. And I don't think that as a legislator, I would, just go against that particular rule. I'd find out some more information and then, move accordingly.
Okay, but you just answered me like a politician. Suppose I ask you, just propose something. What would it look like? Propose a piece of legislation that you think would be helpful.
And a piece of legislation that I would go about supporting and or even presenting would be to take a look at the aspects of the influence, as the gentleman had called out. Now, I'll say it again, our actions had consequences, and I believe that if you're doing something, and you may not know exactly what it is, you must take in all aspects. It must be a total, as much as we can, look around to see, what has influenced the body. We know that, thought influences the body, anger influences the body. You can't drug a person and then say, I drugged them, now they're going to be fine, because that's going against the nature and structure of the body. It's going to fight back. If you knock on the door and then you silence the knock, the body's going to knock harder, and it's going to continue to knock until you answer that particular call, whichever is disturbing it. This was committed by an individual. A gun don't get up and do something. So my legislation would be that we take a look at, all factors that may have contributed towards the cause, not just the factor of the weapon or the substance that was used. You have to look at those parameters, because if the person was of right mind, we just don't do that. We just don't commit an act of that horror unless there's something absolutely wrong. We don't go out to those venues, because if that was the case, then everybody on the street would be doing that right now. Given a weapon in their hand, they would automatically go out and commit these. So I think that there's a little bit more than legislating the ability, and I would look at a whole array of things other than just trying to regulate guns. That would be my legislation.
Thank you very much, Bobby, for your contribution today.
You're welcome.
Eric from Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Idris. How are you?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
All right. So I just want to make this point. There should never be any of gun control laws, because on the opposite, if the teachers were deputized and trained in how to handle guns, do you think that any of those teachers that jumped in front of the kids to protect them would even allow this to happen if they had the training? And they would have blown the guy's brains off before he even had a chance to do any of that damage. So it should be actually the opposite, instead of gun control, so that the population can protect themselves against the authorities, because that was the original 1776 the reason why guns were actually used is because, what, the king's troops were trying to take away guns. So there should never be any ideas of taking guns away from the public, because that's the only protection we have against the oppression by the government.
Well, you will therefore say you are willing to take the risk of several more mass shootings occurring in order to protect the so-called right to bear arms. And it's not absolute either, the right to bear arms, but that's another discussion. But you are willing to take the risk that several more of these things may happen.
What are you talking about? If the teachers have been deputized and have training on how to handle guns, they mm-hmm. would never, ever, in any school, would allow any of this to happen.
And therefore, the teachers should learn how to use the weapons and basically be part of a self-contained protection within the school system itself.
Of course, and the training should be free, obviously. Every school district has the ability to receive that free training from the police department, and that's just part of the, if times are changing, if we're having these drugged out situations happening, then there should be obviously more people that are vigilant, more vigilant citizens, and not sleeping zombies that want to wait for the police to come and whatever, however many, 5, 10, 15 minutes for, they could handle, people have to be able to handle their own. They can't be waiting for some Superman to come and save them. We're not, we should not be a country of lazy zombies, but actually vigilant citizens.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure someone will be reacting to your contribution. Thank you very much, Eric, for being on the air today. Michael from New Jersey, you're on.
Hi, Rich, dear Teresa. It's always a
Hello.
Pleasure to talk to you. I was considering what the previous caller said, and I thought of it myself, like they have air marshals on commercial flights. I don't know if every flight has one, but they would be armed. But you're talking about having a war in the school with crossfire, and it wouldn't work. You're bringing, you're having children in a crossfire, in a war between teachers and somebody who's, coming into the school with a gun, and he had massive firepower. So even if teachers had handguns, what good could it do with an automatic weapon? And I just don't think that would work long term. But I do think that legislators can consider maybe even bringing academics into the situation. There are sociologists, anthropologists who have statistical tools for analyzing these things, and they could see a common denominator. What happens in all these cases? I was listening to the previous program with Gary Null, and there was a tremendous list that he came out with of people who were on psychoactive drugs, particularly antipsychotic drugs. So that could be a common denominator. You could look also at guns. In every situation, guns. In quite a few situations, psychoactive drugs. And also public places where people gather, like movie theaters, schools, where they can, these people have a need to take out a whole bunch of people. So in proposing legislation, you'd have to look at all these factors and really look for a common denominator, in that if you can find a cause, the cause can be removed and you can eradicate the results. So to find the cause and then to propose a remedy through legislation, you'd first have to find that common denominator. And I think you know, people like anthropologists and sociologists who could compile all the data of all these mass murders and find these common denominators could then say, well, this looks like, you know, one of the major causes, or in 75% of the cases, there are these common factors. So then you can propose a legislation for that that specifically deals with this. However, it may be inconvenient for tremendous lobbying power of drug companies who make psychoactive drugs and gun people who have lobbyists who and a lot of money to promote the use of drugs. So in cooperation with media, I would expect that the focus will be on constellations of personality disorders, which would require more drugs, or an increase in homeland security type of things, that where there's another big constituency that can get a lot of money for arming schools, you know, protecting schools in various different ways, instead of looking at something that really gets to the bottom of it, which may be the use of psychoactive drugs in people who can't handle them, as the previous show discussed, and also guns, of course, is a common factor. And perhaps maybe there should be a metal detector in these movie theaters and schools and things. But, you know, from the news that I read, it seems like this guy was coming in anyway, even with, you know, he just sort of shot his way into it. So yes, I think there's a lot of issues to look at before you can come up with, you know, a kind of a surgical remedy for this through legislation.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thanks for your contribution. Janice from Santa Fe, you're on.
I just want to say that I don't believe in gun control, because when 9/11 happened, why didn't they legislate against all airlines? When you start doing gun control, you have to legislate against all kinds of weapons, because if that weapon isn't available, they'll just go get another one. They'll get a bat, a pipe, a rock, a knife. And, you know, in the instance of the gentleman that had a riff with the IRS, he flew his plane into the IRS building. So what are you going to do, legislate every single possible weapon on earth? No, I don't believe in gun control. What I believe in is that symptomatically, this is what is going on in the family unit. It's a rottenness that has permeated into the societal family unit that is not being addressed. And, you know, the Palestinians, why do they do what they do? Does anybody look at, you've had several shows, on what the real issues are behind the Palestinian rift with the Israelis, that their country was removed from them and land was taken? You know, everybody wants to say, oh, they're terrorists, but they don't look at behind the mask of what they're doing. And with my one psychology course in college, I would say that if the government were going to do anything, they should point to more understanding with their family members. I'm in a situation right now where I have a sister holding my father for 5 years. I haven't been able to speak to him but once, taunting me. Now, am I going to get a gun and do something about it? No. But this kind of bullying is going on at all kinds of levels that needs to be addressed. It's not just with kids. It's adults. And most of these agencies look the other way until it's too late. And so if there was going to be legislation, in my estimation, it should be that the government should legislate more compassion and understanding to your family members, to your neighbors, and don't quickly judge and put a label, oh, he's autistic, oh, he's got Asperger's, oh, he's a troubled person. Oh, that's a real quick way to just schluff it under the carpet and, oh, well, that's the end of that. I don't believe in that. I think that there are people that get pushed to a limit. Not that it's right, what they do. It's wrong. However, those are the kinds of things that need to be analyzed, and people need to become more sensitive to other people rather than saying, oh, it's the gun that did it. Oh, he was troubled. Okay, that's a real quick way to just disqualify the real symptomatic problem that's in society where there's a lack of compassion for other people.
I agree with you about the sensitivity that people should have one to the other for all kinds of purposes, all kinds of reasons. However, the task of government or the charge that government has is to legislate by legislation, speak to the issue of safety for all everyone.
Well, let me say this. One of the big safety issues, and Gary Neal talks about this also, is that I understand that there's like two-thirds of the population on psychotropic drugs, which actually exacerbate their mental states and cause them sometimes to become murderers, to become psychotic, and kill other people. What is the government doing about that? You know, I don't know that this person that did this in Newtown was on any kind of drug, but I don't believe that the drug industry is helping society, giving drugs that when it's found out there's a lot of people in the drug industry, high up in the drug industry, that are now coming forward with opposing opinions that know firsthand how detrimental those drugs have become to society. Now, I don't know whether his mother was on drugs, he was on drugs, but that is a total separate issue. The bottom line is we've got too many people on drugs that are exacerbating our safety. And I do not believe that throwing a drug at post-traumatic stress or Asperger's or whatever you might be, it's usually a nutritional problem. And the government is also involved with that because they're a partner in Monsanto. They are a partner to Monsanto. And there's an undermining of our nutrition going on, which also comes into play that nobody will ever look at because it's too far down the most important things to look at. Oh, it's the gun that did it. No, it's a symptomatic problem of not only people's compassion in their family, but scapegoating, bullying, trying to pass the buck onto something else. There needs to be a comprehensive look at what drives a person or a country like Palestine to do what they're doing. And until that is done and people come to a greater understanding of that these are very deep-rooted things going on that are caused mostly by a one-to-one situation that just exacerbates, and it finally becomes what it was in Newtown. And my personal opinion is that the government should not be legislating against guns. They should be legislating against the drugs that drive people sometimes off the cliff, turning the other way when people ask for help, just ignoring what people ask them to do, look the other way, and they should also have training in family relationships. So
right.
that it
well,
doesn't
thank you
come
very much.
To this
thank
point.
You, Janice, for your call today. We're coming to the end of our program today, and it was important to get feedback and to begin this discussion because we do know that we have experienced far too many of these awful, awful events. And to sit there and do nothing, I think, is the ultimate sin. I want to thank you for your participation today, and certainly, hopefully, you'll be here tomorrow. Stay right here. Coming up next is Wake Up Call with Richard Martin. To reach me and to continue the conversation, reach me at Lead Stories, LEID Stories, @gmail.com.
I'm a going home. mother's dead. Oh, she's expecting me. I know. Father's waiting too. Lots of folk, oh, lots of folk together there. Oh, all the friends I knew. I'm going home. I'm going home. Oh, yes, I am. Expecting me, I know. That Father's waiting too. Lots of folk, oh, lots of folk together there. Oh, all the friends I knew. I'm going home.